it's just an honor to come and worship Jesus with you today. Just reminded today of how our God is our fortress and our defender, and he is a strong tower for us. As it says in Psalm 62, 5-8, "But all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." So let's stand together and let's worship God. And I don't know what kind of trials you're going through today, whether it's just the oppressive heat or something a little deeper going on, but just want to give all our troubles to him and bring everything to him today. Jesus is so good and worthy of our praise. So let's sing.
Nothing can stand. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
So good.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Thank you. No hidden treasure veiled by key or lock. You're a lifetime worth of worship, and that's only just a start. So here it is, my every waking day. The minutes, hours, the years of endless praise. For you're worthy far beyond I could say. There's a lifetime worth of worshiping the nuance of your name. So let it rise.
All my heart and all my soul and all I own.
My heart cries, these lungs sing over you, my worthy King of Kings. Let's sing out that bridge, all my love. All my love, all my love, all my love, you can have it all. All my love, all my love, all my love, you can have it all. All my heart, all my soul, all I own, you can have it all. All my heart, all my soul, all I own, you can have it all. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your goodness, and you are a King who's so worthy, and you're worthy of everything, all of our lives, all our souls, all our hearts, all that we own, Jesus. I just pray that we would be people who are willing to lay it all down for you. God, you're just so good, and even in the midst of this heat and the things going on in our life, we praise you for your goodness to us and your faithfulness to us, and you are loving, and you are kind, and you are compassionate, and you are a secure place that we can go to when everything else is falling apart. And we just praise your great name, by the name of Jesus, the only name we can be saved, and we love you. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Right on. It is hot out there. You know, it was one of those things. Last night, I was trying to go to bed, and the heat, it just made me sleep like a baby, in the sense that I woke up every hour crying. But what I love about church is that, you know, we come here and it doesn't really matter what's happened the week before, right? We might come from sleepless nights from heat or from anxiety. We might come with our energy zapped from the hotness or from family drama. But the church is open for all of us, right? And whether we're doing really great or not so great, you know, that's what the church is here for. And that's what I love so much about this community that we have. So great to see you all here this morning. I'm Keith Sandell. I'm the youth pastor here. And we have some exciting things going on here at SCC. So we have summer classes. We have middle school, high school, children's classes running all throughout the summer. Rick also has some adult classes going on. Really great stuff. We have summer camps also for all age groups for our high schoolers, our middle schoolers, and elementary school students. You can look on the website for those information. This is also an exciting week because we are going to be doing some baptisms. We have some baptisms at 1 o'clock at Port Williams Beach, and I think we have a video here to kind of set that up here. So let's see if we can get that rolling.
I'm Noah, and I'm in fifth grade. I'm 11 years old. I grew up in a Christian home.
And I knew from a very young age that Jesus died for my sins to give me eternal life.
And I believe that God loves me and
is always watching over me and taking good care of me.
I came to believe this when I started to read the Bible.
So I sat down, I closed my eyes, and I gave myself to God.
I like going to church now because I think it's a lot of fun. I meet new people, and my favorite thing to do there is pray and talk about God.
My favorite verse is Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Now that I have matured with my faith, I am ready to take the step further with getting baptized. This time of my life is a great time to devote myself to God and let him wash away all my sins.
We have 11 youth getting baptized and I believe 3 adults, so really exciting there. Also, you know, great day for you all, a little bit hot. You can hop in the water after baptisms and cool down a little bit. So in addition to baptisms at 1 o'clock, we also have some baptisms going on here at this 9 o'clock worship service. So we're going to invite Scott forward, and he's going to lead that part of the service.
Awesome. We were each other's wingman all last week. So here's the other thing. If you're with either Brian, Jennifer, and Deborah, I'd have you come up as well. God has been calling you for a long time. And in fact, I believe all of you as infants were extended the symbol that God had a call and a seal on your life. And as you've come to this point in your adult life, you want to re-declare your faith and affirm your baptism in a reaffirmation. And I often look at that as really an anointing of God upon you because he is calling you. He's very active in your heart, mind, and soul. And that has what has brought you to this point of decisive declaration of your faith and your commitment to Jesus Christ. So I have some questions for you that I'd like to have you answer. In preparing yourself for this baptism, do you acknowledge your own need for God's grace as proclaimed to you in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you confess that you have received him by faith as your Savior and Lord, and that your desire is to grow as one of his faithful followers? Do you commit yourself to seeking God's will for your life as you strive to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ? I know you do. This water is perhaps like no other water you've ever seen. There is in this bowl water from the Jordan River. When I was in Israel, they gave us water bottles, and I emptied mine, and then I filled it up with Jordan River water. So that as we celebrate baptism and affirm baptism here, we would know that this is a time-honored sacrament, a time-honored declaration of our faith. The reality that God has and is and will do something in you that you are now declaring. For the water does signify our repentance and the fulfillment of what the Holy Spirit desires to do in each and every believer. Deborah, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Brian, it's awesome to do this with you today. Baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jennifer, God's been after you for a long, long time. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a declaration that your love for us is not passive but active through the Holy Spirit. That you make a move towards us so that we can be in relationship with you. We could not respond to you without the work of the Holy Spirit that enters us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, leads us each and every day, and gives us that supernatural divine power that we need to be faithful day in and day out. And Lord, as we pray for Deborah and Brian and Jennifer, I do pray, Lord, that you would just use those around them to be supportive and encouraging. For Lord, the truth is none of us come to this place all by ourselves. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be your children and live differently and profoundly in accordance with your will now. And Lord, we do, although we don't want to rush out of here, we do look forward to what you have in store for us in eternity. And so we pray all these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. A little applause.
All right, well, we have a scripture passage here today. So we're going to have our scripture reader read the final verses in Matthew's gospel regarding baptism.
Good morning. Today we'll be reading Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Gracious Lord and Creator, I want to thank you for today. God, I want to thank you for those who have rededicated their lives to you or are dedicating their lives to you for the first time. God, I want to thank you for their work and their life and just all the people who have brought them here to this point. God, we just want to ask as we enter this sermon time that you would be over the words. And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be a pleasing offering to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Beginnings and endings. The two most important parts of any story or speech is the beginning and the ending. The beginning, because that's the first impression. It's where you get your audience interested in what's going to happen next. Some of the most memorable lines or scenes comes from the opening of a story or speech. Think of Dickens, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." Or Lincoln's, "Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth in this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the idea that everyone is created equal." Or a more modern example, think of the opening of Star Wars. A lone rebel ship carrying a princess tries to escape the clutches of the sinister Darth Vader. These beginnings, they stick with us. They get us hooked and excited about what's going to happen next. And last week, we looked at the beginning of Matthew's story. And we saw that he does the same thing by giving us the genealogy of Jesus. These verses remind us of what's happened before, and it shows us that the Old Testament has been building towards something. And it gets us excited about what it's been building towards. The arrival of someone special. The entrance of Jesus. And just as crucial as the beginning is the ending. It's the last image or idea you leave your audience with. Dickens concludes his Tale of Two Cities with a gut-wrenching sacrifice. Lincoln ends the Gettysburg Address with the famous phrase that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people will not perish from this earth. Star Wars finishes with the celebration of the defeat of the Death Star. And Matthew's gospel, well, it ends with what we just read here today. It's here that Jesus gives a final message to his disciples. And Jesus gives a word of purpose and a word of promise. A word of purpose and a word of promise. Jesus gives his followers purpose to continue the salvation story. Throughout Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. He breaks bread with the broken. He seeks out the suffering. He dies and rises to defeat death. He shows us that the old order of things that consisted of sin and suffering, that's passing away, and a new day is rising. A day is rising where sins can be forgiven. A day is rising where death doesn't have to be feared. A day is rising where everyone and anyone can come and eat at the table of God. A day is rising where we'll be able to fully commune with our Creator. And Jesus instructs his followers to continue proclaiming this good news, to go to the ends of the earth and share what they have experienced, to tell everyone that a new day has risen because the sun has risen. He gives his disciples this great commission. And his first followers took this mission to heart. They traveled to Africa, Asia, Europe, as far as they could go, proclaiming the message of the risen Lord. And they went and they made disciples. And the next generation of Christians, they went and did the same thing. They told everyone they met about the good news, and they continued to make followers. And so did the next generation, and the next generation and the next generation, until finally us. 2,000 years later, the church is still here. And it's still here because every generation of Christians has taken Jesus' great commission to heart, has went out and made more disciples. That was the purpose of the first generation of Christians, and it's our purpose today, too. And we take this mission here at SCC seriously. It's so serious that it's in our vision statement, which goes like this: to respond to Jesus' great commission by encouraging people to join us as we become fully devoted followers of Christ. And what I love about this Sunday is that we see this vision realized. We see so many people pledging their lives to be disciples. We've responded to this great commission by inviting others into our church home. And that's amazing. Like, give yourself a round of applause for that. Like, big round of applause for all the people. For all the people who are pledging their lives to Christ today. That's incredible. But bringing people to faith through baptism, it's only the first part of the purpose Jesus gives us. Let's look at those verses again. Jesus states, "Go and baptize everyone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." And teach them. We're called not to just introduce individuals to the faith, but also to develop their faith, to help them grow and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And making people fully devoted followers, that's something that only works if we do it as a church family, if we do it all together. Scott is an amazing pastor. He's incredible. But by himself, Scott doesn't have everything these new believers need to become fully devoted followers. Rick's an amazing associate pastor. But by himself, Rick also doesn't have everything these new believers need. Christy's a great worship leader. Jennifer's a great children's director. We have a great board of elders. The youth pastor, he's okay. But on our own, the leadership team here doesn't have everything these new believers need to become fully devoted followers. They can only come into maturity in their faith if we do it all together as a whole church body. Because we all have unique gifts and talents and abilities and spiritual insight. And so we have to come together as one unit to bring these devoted followers into full maturity in the faith. Several years ago, I took a trip to Brazil. And during my time there, I stayed with a local family consisting of a father and a mother and two children. And this family really took me under their wing, which was great because I had no idea what I was doing. And like, you know, more no idea what I was doing than I usually do, which is, you know, pretty big usually. But I didn't know how to get around. I didn't know anything about the food. I didn't speak any Portuguese. But this family, they helped me. They transported me to places. They prepared meals for me. They spoke English when I was around, even though it wasn't their first language. And each member of the family taught me something different. The son showed me popular television programs and the games they played. The father took me around the city and the surrounding area. The mother instructed me in the kind of food they ate. And let me tell you, they ate some great food. And they also drank coffee all the time, so my kind of place, food and coffee, whew, good stuff. These individuals, they did more than invite me into their home. They made me a part of the family. And that's what we're called to do with these new baptized members. It's amazing that we've invited them into our faith home. But our job isn't over yet. Now we show them what it means to be a part of the family. We show them how to navigate areas of their spiritual journey. We help them get spiritual food, and at times physical food. We got some great potlucks here at SCC. And we speak to them the language of faith. Our purpose is to always be inviting people into the church and to help them become one of the family. Today is where we see the fruits of our vision, where we see people dedicating their lives to Jesus. And it's also where we rededicate ourselves to this mission, to continue to make fully devoted followers. And what I love about this passage is that the mission comes with a reassurance. Jesus gives us a promise with this purpose. So let's take a look here at the scripture passage one more time. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and be sure of this, I am with you always." If we're honest, it can be hard at times to evangelize, to bring others into the family of faith. Maybe we fear that we don't know what to say to our unbelieving friends, or we're worried about what they're going to say back to us, or maybe we feel anxious about the cultural challenges we're going to face. And perhaps the only thing harder than evangelism is discipleship, training people in the faith, the day in and day out of helping others grow as fully devoted followers. I mean, how can we teach other people to fully obey everything Jesus has taught us when, if we're honest, we don't always fully obey everything Jesus has taught us? It seems an insurmountable task for us. And to be quite honest, it is impossible for us to do on our own. And that's why the promise of Christ in this passage is so crucial. The promise that we don't go on this great commission alone. You see, Jesus is more than just a great role model. He's more than just a great teacher. He's more than just an inspiration. Of course, he's all those things. And he's also our risen Lord. And the fact that he's the risen Lord, it makes all the difference in the world. The resurrection means that Jesus is still here with us today. He's someone we can still talk to, someone who can still influence things around us. And because he's the Lord, it means he has all authority in heaven and on earth. The same Jesus who loves us and died on the cross for us, he's the one who reigns over all. We know that our hardships are temporary because Jesus has the final say in our lives. We know that nothing can separate us from Christ because he reigns supreme. We have confidence as we go into this world to bring others to the family of faith because Jesus is with us and for us. He'll go before us to open hearts, and he'll go after us to stir souls. As we look for the lost sheep, we go with the good shepherd beside us. As we help those in dark places, we go with the light of the world. As we instruct others, we go with the greatest teacher. As we build the next generation of Christians, we go with the firmest foundation. As we make disciples, we go with the greatest disciple maker. So we have faith in our purpose because we go with the risen Lord. Beginnings and endings, the most important parts of any story. Today we see for some the start of their spiritual journey, and we celebrate that beginning. And it's amazing that we get to be here to share in that moment. And as Christians, we rejoice in the ending because we know that, well, it's not really an ending. When we make disciples, when we fulfill the Great Commission, and when we eventually pass on to the next life, we know that for today and the rest of eternity, Jesus is going to be with us. Jesus gives us purpose for our lives to go and make disciples, and he gives us a promise for our lives that he'll be with us forever. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Lord and risen Son, we want to thank you so much that you are here with us today. God, we want to thank you that you have come to this world, that you came as a baby, you lived your life here, and eventually went on, died on the cross, and rose again, so that we could be here today, singing of the forgiveness of sins, seeing of your great love and mercy. And God, we just want to thank you that we have brought more people into this family of faith, that you, through your Holy Spirit, have brought those into the kingdom of God. And so we just want to ask, as we continue to celebrate baptisms today, as we continue to celebrate all the work that you're doing, that we would take our purpose to heart, that we would go and make more disciples and make them fully devoted followers of you. I want to thank you so much that you are always with us, that no matter what happens, you will always be here, and you will always be with us even to the end of the age. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lost or saved, find their way.
out one last time. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb. All the world will praise his great name at the end of the age, and we can rejoice in that. So let's go from here today in the name of Jesus, proclaiming his message, knowing that he is with us always, and he is the one doing the work. So have a great Sunday, and God bless you.